So we're reading today from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 9, Text 46. Aho esam varam janma sarva prana upajivinam sujanisyeva yesam vai vimukkayanti nartinah. Aho, oh, just see. Esam of these trees, varam superior, janma birth, sarva all, prani living entities, upajivanam one who provides maintenance, sujanasya eva. Eva, like the great personalities. Thank you very much. Yesam, for those. No, sorry, I'm seeing it wrong. For from whose? Vai, certainly. Vimukha, disappointed. Yanti, goes away. Na. Never. Artinaha, one who is asking for something. Just see how these trees are maintaining every living entity. Their birth is successful. Their behavior is just like that of great personalities. For anyone who asks anything from a tree never goes away disappointed. According to the Vedic civilizations, kshatriyas are to be considered to be great personalities, because if anyone goes to a kshatriya king to ask for charity, the king will never refuse. The trees are compared to those noble kshatriyas because everyone derives all kinds of benefits from them. Some people take fruit, others take flowers, others take leaves, others take twigs, or others even cut the tree, yet the tree gives to everyone without hesitation. Unnecessary cutting trees without consideration is another example of human debauchery. The paper industry cuts many hundreds and thousands of trees for its mills, and with the paper so much rubbish literature is produced for the whimsical satisfaction of human society. Unfortunately, all these industrialists are now happy in this life by dint of their industrial development. They do not know that they will incur the responsibility for killing these living entities or in the form of trees. This verse quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Lord Krishna to his friends when he was taking rest underneath a tree after his pastime of stealing the clothes of the gopis, Vastaharana Lila. By quoting this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us that we should be tolerant like trees and also beneficial like trees, which give everything to the needy persons who come underneath them. A needy person may derive many advantages from trees and also from animals, but in modern civilization, people have become so ungrateful that they exploit the trees and animals and kill them. These are some of the sinful activities of modern civilization. That noise of the cup falling reminded me that I need some water. So Lord Chaitanya quoted this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna, who was resting with the cowherd boys under a tree after the Vastra Harana Lila. And then it is described how this tree is compared to great personalities who are providing everything. And the example is given of charitable kings. But I thought the verse also applies to the spiritual master, because the spiritual master is also providing shelter. The spiritual master is also generally giving. Right? That is basically his role. His role is to give for the benefit of others and to not be so concerned with, like, you know, his own comfort or facility. and yeah, give a branch or whatever. So this spirit of giving is the foundation of spiritual life. Of course, when I speak about the spiritual master, then we can remember the verse Yare deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh Amar agyaya guru hoye tare edesh, which means that whomever you meet, instruct them about Krishna or the instructions of Krishna, Krishna upadesh, and in this way become a spiritual master and deliver the entire land, or sometimes Prabhupada says the entire world. So yes, it is this instruction or this model for the tree is for all of us. We are meant to be trees. We are meant to have this this mood of giving shelter to others, and this mood of tolerating so many discomforts like trees do. The thing people do with trees, one can contemplate for a moment. You see a man alone with a tree, right? Or you see people carving things in trees, just to name some things. Prabhupada refers to the paper industry, and then it gets serious. Chainsaws, every hour, so many kilometers of rainforest are just mowed down, and so on. I remember on the Spanish farm, we had some forest, and every year the discussion would come up whether we should cut some of the forest and or not, you know, like that. And the man who was, the local guy who used to do that kind of work, his name was Primitivo. Sorry, just imagine. So just that name was for me always sort of, well, maybe we shouldn't do this. So I have a feeling that maybe Krishna doesn't want this. And that is also a relevant point, that we must let, not only are we taking shelter of Krishna, we let Krishna lead our way. Krishna has somehow or other placed us in a particular position. Karmana daivane trena jantu deu papajate. We are not only taking birth by our karma, but it is also by divine arrangement. Karmana daivane trena. It is also by the arrangement of Krishna that we are finding ourselves in a particular situation, and a certain amount of acceptance is required of destiny, and say, oh well, you know, this is what came my way and I'll just roll with it. I will not get so much in anxiety about my condition of life. I don't need to turn everything upside down to try and make some sort of arrangement by which I will get a better life. Right? All that energy should not go towards the material arrangement. All that energy should go towards our service for Krishna. And so for our material arrangement, what comes? What comes natural? What comes? Karma da devane trena, by karma and by divine arrangement. So we see the tree is kind of a symbol of acceptance. And we also must accept our destiny. A tree has no choice, it cannot run away. So we also must accept, must be tolerant and generous. This principle of generosity is maybe why I like this verse, why it attracted me, and
But all right.
I didn't spend a long time looking for a verse. I didn't choose it 6 months ago or 6 days ago. I didn't particularly think, like, how can I give a special message on this day, right? Something that carries the very essence of Krishna consciousness, because really it all carries the essence of Krishna consciousness. It's not, every verse is revealing something about the essence. So how can we, it is just, sometimes we cannot see the deeper significance of a particular verse. But obviously, in this verse, we are speaking about great personalities and not so much about trees. And great personalities who are greatly, greatly generous, who are described as Mahatmas, great souls who dedicate their life to taking shelter of the absolute truth, and then are willing to somehow or other share this transcendental knowledge with as many people as possible. And that is our that spirit of giving mercy, some way or other. That is the life of transcendental knowledge. That is Sankirtan. Not chanting alone, not chanting quietly and silently or in the mind. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, there is a description about how there are different ways to chant. One can chant loudly, one can chant very softly, just moving the lips, barely audible. Basically, the lips are moving. And then one can chant completely in the mind. And it is stated that actually the chanting in the mind is considered the best chanting. And of course, we take it that means that not just moving the lips, and making a hissing sound, as Prabhupada said, but actually involving our consciousness in the chantings. And that way, yes, in the mind. But it is said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was loudly chanting the holy name and also recommended that the holy name should be chanted loudly. Rupa Goswami mentions it in his Laghu Bhagavatamrita. So, in this way, the loud chanting of the holy name is considered to be auspicious. Haridas Thakur is a wonderful devotee. And what I particularly... endearing moment in the interactions between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur is when Lord Chaitanya is in anxiety. Because Lord Chaitanya is thinking, how am I going to deliver all these living beings who are in the non-moving species, who are so much covered by ignorance that they cannot really become active and take up the chanting? What about all those living entities, living beings in trees, and how will they be delivered? And then Haridas is saying to the Lord, my dear Lord, please don't be in anxiety. He said, actually, when the devotees are loudly chanting the holy name, then the echo of the trees, that is the chanting of those living entities, and they will be delivered in that way. I like this particular pastime because Haridas is saying, my dear Lord, please don't be in anxiety. Usually it's the other way. We come in anxiety, right, and pray to the Lord, oh, please, please do something about help me. I mean, please make it a little easier. Oh, my Lord, my anxiety, please relieve me from this anxiety. And generally our prayers are related to that. But we see that Haridas is on another level. He tries to relieve the anxiety of the Lord. What generosity. What generosity. Yes. To think in this way, to think of how can I relieve the anxiety of the Lord. And yes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always absorbed in his transcendental pleasure pastimes, absorbed in an ocean of transcendental love, premamritambo, along with his devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is particularly showing that merciful feature. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is not only writing about the activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but at one point he is he's first of all establishing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Krishna. And then he writes about Krishna. And he doesn't just write about the transcendental activities of Krishna. He writes that, and one day, Krishna was thinking to himself, and for long I have not distributed this love for me, right, freely. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is writing about what the Lord is thinking. So that's quite something. He is such a devotee of such intimate caliber that he even understands the thoughts of the Lord. And Krishnadas Kaviraj is then writing, yes, for long I have not come and distributed love of God. If my name is truly Vishwambar, the maintainer of the entire universe, then I must give this love of God freely, because only when living beings are situated in the state of love of God, are they truly situated in their natural position. Therefore, if I'm Vishwambar, the maintainer of the entire universe, you can only say I'm maintaining them when they are situated in love of God. So, in the same way, Haridas Thakur also understood the mood of the Lord, and therefore said, please don't be in anxiety. Because when we are chanting loudly and the holy name is echoing off the trees, this echo is the chanting of the trees. And in that way, they will also be delivered. And in that way, so many living beings. So the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are chanting loudly, so that they will get the benefit, but simultaneously other living beings also will share in the benefit. And in that way, the chanting is becoming of a greater caliber. It is just as Prahlad Maharaj is saying, let's see if I remember the whole verse. Prayena deva munio swavi mukti kama. I'm already getting stuck on the second. Prayena deva munio swavi mukti kama. I knew that one was rusty. If someone is a pundit, they can tell me that's the next word. Prayena deva munio swavi mukti kama.
Maunam charanti vijaneena pararta nista yait naitan vihaya vimamukso eko. Okay, I'm really rusty now. Last line. The point is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I'm talking Prahlad. Prahlad was also saying, I'm not interested just in my own liberation. There are so many who are withdrawing to the forest, who are getting very serious about their personal practices. Some are performing great austerities and even taking vows of mona or silence, not speaking. Said, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm not interested in just my own salvation. How can I leave this world when there are so many fools in this world who are bewildered? And it is my desire to deliver them. Yes, these kind of meditations are the meditations of a generous person. I have never seen a more generous person than Srila Prabhupada, right? Because he never held back. Right? He never held back for. He never considered his own comfort, and he never considered any austerity too great for the sake of preaching. Prabhupada was not one who liked austerity for austerity's sake. He was not famous for the one who was fasting the most, on the Vrindavan Parikrama, Prabhupada was wearing shoes, which I like, because oh God, I have soft feet, and a Govardhan Parikrama without shoes is something. Some people chant so many rounds, and I count so many thorns, you know, in every stone. And in between the stones and thorns, there are some Maha Mantras. So, what to say? Prabhupada was not one of austerity for austerity's sake. But when it came to accepting austerities to give out the mercy for others, then it was just inconceivable. Inconceivable what he did not do. Prabhupada was in New York. Prabhupada had a cold, and you can hear it in how the cold is progressing. You know, like when you have a real cold, you get a first you sneeze and then it dries up, and you get that nosy voice. And you could hear it on the lectures day after day that the cold was progressing, and the devotees were saying, just. Prabhupada was scheduled to go to London, and they said, you don't have to go to London, just stay here, just rest. And Prabhupada said, if I don't go to London, said, if I don't travel, if I would have not come here, right, then who will save you? Right? Who will save you? So that was something. At that age, you know, like it's a little different, a cold, than at our age, you know. At that age, it becomes really tough. But Prabhupada carried on. I'm also thinking about when his sister was insisting on cooking for him in Mayapur and cooked some kachoris in mustard oil, and Prabhupada ate the kachoris, and then within 15 minutes or so became ill, called the servant, said these kachoris were not cooked, and you know, like totally unwell, and then he got severe dysentery, right? and basically saying like my sister is trying to poison me, and chastising his sister, a typical brotherly sisterly relationship. And subsequently, Prabhupada got dysentery. So anyway, then at one point he called his servant and said, call my sister. And all the devotees are, his sister? Oh no, not his sister. Oh no, not his sister. And then he asked his sister to cook deep-fried eggplant and puris. And the devotees thought, now this is going to be the end, right? This is the Anchalila. It's over. Right? Finished. And then his sister cooked this, brought this deep-fried eggplant and fried puris. And Prabhupada ate some of that and said, yes, my mother always used to make deep-fried eggplant and puris when we had dysentery. Anyway, so he got better, but he was still not well. And he was also scheduled to go to London. And as he was on the plane, the secretary gave up his seat so that Prabhupada could lie down on both seats, something he never did, something he never ever did. And so Prabhupada had to lie down in the plane. It is said in the car from the airport, he became unwell and even had to throw up, right, in London. And that was 1973 in London when Prabhupada came for the Rath Yatra and was asked to sit on the chariot of Subhadra and said no. And he did not sit. And that was the year that he danced in front of the chariot and ran up and down. And that was the year that the police was trying to stop the old man from holding up the parade. You know, tell him he has to move, as police usually does. And some say it was Srutakirti who was informed. Others say it is Brahmananda. I go for the Brahmananda story, and the police said to Brahmananda, tell him to move. And Brahmananda had a big dilemma in his life. He looked at the police, he looked at Prabhupada, and was thinking of which one he was the most afraid. And he decided that it was Prabhupada. So he didn't care about the cop. So then the cop really, really became upset and said, tell him! You know. So then Brahmananda just went up to Prabhupada and said, the police want to move. And Prabhupada just looked at him. And Brahmananda became the size of a mouse. And that was it. Right? That was it. The police was powerless, and Prabhupada was experiencing his ecstasy, running up and down in front of the chariot of Jagannath, forward and backward, and in this way all the time stopping the chariot. And that was that glorious Rath Yatra. And Trafalgar Square is a nice square because it has the Nelson Column. And the way it is made is that there is the square and then there is a kind of raised platform. And on the raised platform there is the column. And then the chariot can also stand on the raised platform. So it's got a great position for the chariots. And that was that newspaper article, that the chariot of Lord Jagannath rivals Nelson's column. Which, you know, for someone who came from a country which had been under British rule was really a moment of a double moment of victory, right? Even it was a glorious moment indeed, and I'm very happy that the Rath Yatra is back on Trafalgar Square. And you know, at one point the Rath Yatra moved to the Battersea Park and it became like a family picnic. It was a nice family picnic, I must say. I used to like them. But Trafalgar Square is something else. Because there we are we are touching so many people, reaching so many people. So that was Prabhupada's spirit, that was his desire. He wanted Trafalgar Square. The model of the tree. A tree cannot just be generous. A tree, first of all, requires roots, deep roots. And therefore, generosity can only come when we have deep roots. If we don't have deep roots ourselves in practicing spiritual life, how can we expect to be generous? It's not possible. Then we'll be too concerned with my own desires, my own feelings, my own needs, my own security, my own spiritual life. I mean, somehow or other, I'm not a big, great personality, so I'm just happy if I can take care of myself, and then I'm already doing very good. That is natural that one will think like that when the roots are not very deep. Therefore, one of my favorite verses is a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Se pancha tattvamili prithiviyasiya purva prema bandarira mudra ugadiya pancha mili lutta prem karyashvadan yate yate piya trishna badayanukshan. Which is the verse about breaking the lock of the storehouse of love of God, and that the pancha tattva then went inside this prema bandar, this storehouse of love of God. And what did they do? Lutte prem. They were plundering it. They did not just immediately go in and take everything and then start distributing that love of God. They were plundering it. And that is the key for going back to our tree metaphor, for growing deep roots. We ourselves have to plunder. We have to enter into the treasure house of Prabhupada's books, of Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to enter into the treasure house of chanting the holy name, of kirtan, of all these transcendental activities, of worshipping the deity. All these things are the treasure house where we can collect our daivi sampad, our spiritual wealth, our service to Guru and Krishna. In those things, we gain depth. In our own practices, we have to be absorbed and strong. And one cannot just say, it's not my nature. It is. If we think, like some people may say, I never was a reader, somehow or other. Anything more than comic books, I just can't really handle it, Reading's never been my thing. It doesn't matter, because it is not really reading in that sense. It is actually, it's taking shelter. It is connecting with Krishna. Right? It is Krishna is there. The Bhagavatam is described to be the literary incarnation of Krishna. So it is our chance to associate with Krishna. So at that point, it's how can one say, I don't like reading, that may be, but, basically, Krishna is there. We can just enter. That is the amazing thing. How many times have I experienced that whenever my mind, which is easily disturbed, my mind disturbed by 1,000 irritating, agitating things, right? I don't know if you have it also, but, I find the material world an irritating place, right? It's like, it's always something, you know,
to irritate me. And
or agitate me, attract me, and so on. So the mind, all that mental energy. And then how many times have I experienced that when I started reading Prabhupada's books, that it was okay, that I first, maybe sometimes I first had to push a little bit through the agitation, but then it started to work very soothing on the mind. And immediately, one is on the transcendental platform, right there. It's right there. So we cannot say, I have no time for this, right? It's just the transcendental platform in our pocket in the form of a book, and the only thing that makes it difficult for us is our mind, or that thick wall of false ego. There was a 10-year-old boy in England who wrote a poem in the 70s, which was called Thick as a Brick. And he became famous for it. And a well-known musician took the poem and made it into an album and a song. And it's kind of, as a Dutchman, you can relate to that, because in Dutch we say that that there are people who have a block of concrete in front of their head, right? Blok beton voor je kop, right? For the Dutch. So what can I say? You know, it's a false ego, right? For the Germans, as thick as the Berlin Wall, right? A thick block, right? And we have to somehow or other get through to that, to get ourselves activated, to do it, right? To do what we know we should do, and what we just don't feel like doing, right? Because this thick barrier of false ego, which is just giving us no taste. So a little pushing is required there, with intelligence. Therefore, it is Oma Gyana Timarandasya Ginanana Salakya Shakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. These great personalities, they open our eyes from this dense darkness. Another way to describe this wall is like, it's like a dense darkness, like a blanket of darkness on our consciousness. Another way to describe the barrier. And these great personalities, they give us transcendental knowledge, which pierces that barrier and give us the intelligence. It doesn't necessarily immediately change our state of heart. It's not that easy. Some work we have to do ourselves. But at least there is divya jnanam. At least there is transcendental knowledge, and at least an idea of which direction we should go and what we should work on. But some austerity is there. We have to some struggle will remain. Some come to spiritual life because they don't like prakriti stani karsati, the struggle with material existence. And they come. Sometimes we have been accused in our movement for being escapists. And of course, we have, in an indignant way, stood up and said, how dare they? How dare they call the Vaishnavas escapists? But I think that in all of us, there is a little bit of an escapist. Right? Maybe we are escapists. Right? You can think about it. Maybe we don't like austerity. Maybe we don't like. And all right, material austerity, we can avoid it as much as possible. Keep life simple. Keep desire simple, then life will be simple. then that's austerity. But for spiritual life, one has to take any level of austerity, whatever is required, and that is needed. So yes, we must push ourselves sometimes to take shelter when Krishna is so available. So the great personalities give us that vision, but then it's up to us. Then it's up to us. And that is ultimately there that it said a great personality is compared to a tree laden with fruits. And it said that when the branches are full with many fruits, then the tree naturally bows down. So in this way it must come that we gradually develop that mood of not claiming any respect or recognition for ourselves, and simply see that I'm not qualified, but somehow or other I am here, you know. Somehow or other I am in this position. Yeah. Many years ago I was young and fiery, not so many years ago, maybe even yesterday, but now I'm getting old. So anyway, many years ago in Vrindavan, when I was temple president, at that time, some of the sannyasis when they were in Vrindavan, would not come to the temple very much and would just be in their own ashrams and chanting. And in those days I felt, oh, you know, how sad, can they not come, and so on. Nowadays, of course, now that I'm sannyasi myself, I think, like, give them a break, you know what I mean? give them some space. But in those days, I wasn't thinking like that. So I wrote a letter to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, right? And I asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj to come and partake in the temple programs. And I said, my dear Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you know, it's like, somehow or other, we are here starving for mercy. And you are one who has been so greatly blessed, because Srila Prabhupada personally gave you a beautiful golden vessel and filled it with so much nectar from his personal association, and many wonderful moments were there, like jewels decorating that golden vessel. And in this way, Maharaj, we are so eager to receive some mercy if you so desire. That otherwise it comes back to junior people like myself who have no who didn't have all that, you know. Like what did I receive? You know, I didn't receive all that, right? All those intimate moments. Sometimes people say, well, Swamiji, can you tell something about your moments of association with Srila Prabhupada? And then, okay, you know, I can speak about association in instruction, in remembrance, and in that is there, but you know, I don't have all those jewels, right, that devotees like Tamal Krishna Maharaj said. So I said, like, I have a tiny little cup, you know, and it's an old iron loter. And with this old iron loter, if I want to give nectar, I can't give very much. And I have to run up and so I have to run up and down, but it's not the same. So whatever it is, you know, Satsarup Maharaj, who wrote so many books, wrote, named one of his books, A Poor Man Reads the Bhagavatam. Right? So we may be poor, right? We may be poor. We may not have, we may not be a spiritual millionaire, right? We may not have all these amazing blessings and gifts that everyone have. It's like we may not be so intelligent. We may not even be able to remember simple verses, you know, forget them like anything. We may not have so many attributes. And we may not feel qualified, and we may not be so qualified. All right. Maybe we are not so qualified, but somehow or other we are here, right? All of us, we are here. We are here in this movement. We are here with this transcendental knowledge. We have all received some amazing knowledge. And if others get that knowledge and accept it, it can end their existence in this material world. Maybe we can, we can not speak in a very nice way. Maybe we cannot dance. Maybe we cannot sing. Maybe we cannot do anything. But it doesn't matter. Prabhupada told us about there was a fire, and there was this Chinese family living in the street, and they didn't speak a word, and all they of any other language, only Chinese they spoke. And there was a fire, and you know, how could they say, call the fire brigade, right? How could they say a fire? No one understood the Chinese word for fire. But they managed, right? Somehow or other. Whatever, you know. Somehow or other, you know. It gets across. It gets across. Right? So, when there's a desire, right? When there's a desire, so if somehow or other we could develop that desire, a little bit of compassion. One cannot cultivate compassion by an exercise, you know. I'm got to be more compassionate. I'm going to try to be compassionate. I have to be compassionate. It will not, that will not last for very long. Yeah. The real way to become compassionate is when we go deep in our own spiritual practices and we experience a better way of life. When we are actually experiencing a better way of life, then we can be compassionate. Otherwise, you're out there with a book bag, walking on the street, and you see, and it's summertime here in Europe when it's actually warm, and believe it, it does happen. And then all these people sit on terraces outside, in the sun, drinking nice drinks and just enjoying like anything. And then you stand there with a boot bag and you do feel compassion for yourself. You know? But real compassion we can only experience when we go really deep in our own practices and we realize that yes, Krishna consciousness is really a better way of life. Then we can take any austerity and then we can see they're just suffering. Then we see it. Then it doesn't look like they're enjoying and I'm suffering. Then we see they're in hell. They're just suffering and they don't get it. Then we can become compassionate. So, yes, we must take shelter. That is how we become, how we can develop this mood of becoming trees, and how even a small person can become great by taking shelter. That is the key to success. And then even a small person can do a great work. That is what I would desire, you know, like somehow or other. I'm going to end in it in 2 minutes. But somehow or other, I'm sitting here today in this position, and somehow or other I'm in the role of an instructor. And although I may not be the best instructor, still, somehow or other, I'm in that role. And so my request to you is that all of you become instructors. All of you. I want to multiply, you know. I'm not great. I'm not particularly senior. I'm not particularly anything, but try to be a representative, and my desire is that all of you also take that up, that mission of becoming instructors. Yare Dekitarakaha Krishna Upadesh Ama Agyaya Guru Aya Tara Edesh. In this way, let us try and deliver the world. Thank you very much. So, because time schedule is also there today. One question we can take. Okay, you're fast. It's all right. Yesterday, he had a conversation with the Brahmacharya senior to himself. The conversation turned to something else. Many misconceptions. You didn't agree with him. He said, you're not a grihastha because you're not initiated yet. You are a grihamedi. He said that you were a grihamedi. And then what did you do to him? Yeah, he wanted to push his knowledge upon you. So, okay, then you said it was not your authority, and today you're getting him back by asking the question to me. You've seen this many times, and why is this all? Why are these devotees behaving in such a way? Even senior devotees. How can Dori Senior to behave in such a way? Yeah, well, you know, in the beginning, when we are approaching this movement, we think that that everyone is a pure devotee. We think they're all angels and they must all be perfect. Then after a while, when we begin to associate with them, then we see that they are not entirely perfect and that there's maybe a little bit of fault. Then we begin to develop some, we become judgmental and we begin to see, this one, this lacking, that one, not quite, that one, has these qualities, and we begin to look at Vaishnavas, like, yeah, they're trying, but they're not perfect, And then the next stage after that is where we begin to see that even if they have some faults, they do, but actually they're pure. So that's the third state. So there are three stages by which we are experiencing the Vaishnavas. So you may have now come to the stage where you see that they're not all perfect. But it's not very important. Maybe that so-called senior devotee still has to grow a lot more. It's a long way, you know. It's like going up a big mountain. You're not so quickly at the top. So he's not at the top. But he's on the way there. And he is doing many things for Krishna. So that is nice. So, you're not initiated. But also not a single man. You are married, I hope. That's a good beginning. You are married. And you're trying to become a grihastha. You know what I'm saying? So you can also take it, all right, you know. Even when you're initiated, right? You may still feel, yeah, now I'm initiated, but I'm still not really a very good grihastha. I still have so many grihamedi tendencies. So these kind of designations, grihastha, grihamedi, you know, it's not that we should start wearing t-shirts with a designation. I give him a grihastha t-shirt because he's initiated. You're not initiated. I give you a grihamedi t-shirt. No, it's about... And then on the day of your initiation, I'll give you the grihastha t-shirt. Yeah? Together with your bead bag. Huh? No. It's not entirely like that. It is... To become a grihastha is actually a very difficult thing. And we are getting the designation, the title, very generously. We'll give it to you. Yes, you're a grihastha. Now you can feel good about it, about yourself. You're a grihastha. But now try and become a real grihastha. Try and take shelter of the ashram. Learn the culture of the ashram. Even all the initiations will not help. Just as a magic formula, you know, you are now a grihastha. No. It's something you have to try to improve and learn more about how to be like that. And it's you get theoretical understanding with time from scriptures, from senior Vaishnavas, and then you have to learn to practice it. And we have to learn to be kind. We have to learn to become full of love. See, by nature, the conditioned soul has no love. So how can he really be a grihastha when you have no love? My former wife used to sometimes call me a cold frog. which I guess there was truth to it. I guess there was some truth to it. Yeah? Maybe I still have some cold frog tendencies in me. So we can look at ourselves and we can say, I'm trying to be a grihastha. I'm trying to overcome the grihamedi tendencies in myself. You understand the word tendency? You still have the inclination towards still a little bit of a grihamedi in me. So in this way, these things, these kind of disagreements can also be helpful. Well, you can turn it around and make it positive and say, all right, I'll try and become a grihastha. Maybe one day I'll get there, but maybe not on the day of your initiation. And then at age 50, it's over. It's finished, whether you're qualified or not. Pancha chordam vanam vrajet. At the age of 50, it is vanaprastha and no more sex life. And at the age of 50, you have to wind down And you have to start preparing for the end of life. See, the Grihastha is very busy with this life, and he has so many things to do now in his life. Oh, millions of things. And he has to build up something, you know, build up a business, build up a house, build a family, and, you know, put him through an education, put some savings aside and this and that, you know, get him all married and nicely situated, and so many millions of things to do in the Grihastha ashram. Uh-huh. But at 50, one has to start winding down and spiritualizing one's life. Yeah. So in this way, Varna ashram is a code of behavior, and we are trying to take shelter of it. It's like I took sannyas, and now that is 16 years ago, and you know, you think like, well, by now, you know, he's sort of experienced, right? You know, after 16 years, you sort of, you know, should know how it works. I'm still at the very beginning. I'm just sort of, it's beginning to dawn on me what more I have to do to become a sannyasi, to take advantage of this ashram. So it's an opportunity. Take advantage of the Grihastha ashram. Try and become a real Grihastha, an effulgent example, so that even such brahmacharis will come to you and say, "Prabhu, you are a real Grihastha." I have to leave it at this. Think about it. Food for thought. And now we are going for a little break, and then at 10 o'clock we'll come back here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.